It was funny. As I was seeking for the will of God before I was called to preach, I was always like, what if I'm a preacher? And I always got excited about that and always wondered about that. And then when I got called to preach, I said, oh my goodness, I'm a preacher. I wanted it so bad, but once I got it, it was just unreal. But thinking about that song tonight, I love it. Just thinking about, why should I worry? I have so many friends at school and in this world, they can't say that. You know, we have people all around us that worry constantly each and every day. But the fact that we can come to church and say, why should we worry? To know that we have a God that we've had an experience with, that we can rely on Him and say, why should I worry? The world doesn't have that. And this Christmas, all they have is gifts, but we have a Savior that we can say that with. Normally, I don't have a fancy title, so I was talking to Uncle Mike about that today. But I got one today, and I won't be long, but I hope you hear to hear what I have to say. My title tonight is, You'll Know When Christmas Comes to Town. You'll know when Christmas comes to town. If you'll stretch forth your arm this way and pray that God would have His will in the service tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Well, Derek talked a little bit this morning about the birth of Jesus and how it can't be denied, how there were signs after sign about when Jesus came into that manger. We look all around the scenery of that day. We know He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we know He was lying in the manger. But then, as Brother Derek mentioned this morning, we can see the people that came to greet Him. We know the angels came out of the sky, and they pointed towards the birth of a Savior. The Bible says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Like Brother Derek preached this morning, they had faith. They had just seen the Savior. This birth wasn't just some normal birth. You couldn't question it. When the heavens were ripped open and the angels poured out glorifying your name, you couldn't question it. When the shepherds came and found a random baby, they knew it was much more than just a baby. I'm sure Mary didn't and Joseph didn't know all that was going to happen, but they were prophesied that a two-edged sword would pierce their side. They knew that something was going to happen, but they didn't really realize what this birth meant. It meant so much more than anybody could have realized, and He was greeted by a host of angels, by shepherds, and later on by wise men. This birth was no normal birth, but you could realize something had just happened. We see His life 12 years later as He comes to the temple, and His family's walking. Somehow they lose Jesus, and what a scary feeling. But you find Jesus back in the temple teaching the Pharisees and teaching the men of and the elders of the tabernacle. And you can tell this is no normal person. This young kid is teaching these old wise men. You can tell this is more than just a kid. And they were astonished by what they heard, astonished by what He said. And already, and by 12 years old, He had made an impact. When He was born, He split the heavens open. And when He was 12 years old, He entered into the minds of men. And they begin to wonder who this was. That's the last we see of Him for several years. But then we get to Him performing His first miracle at the supper. And He begins to find his disciples. He goes throughout the land and He finds different men like Peter, James, and John. These men that were just normal men that had never heard of Jesus. Jesus was just a carpenter's son. But I love the story when He would go by and He would say, Peter, come walking after me. He talked to Peter, James, and John. He showed them that He was the master. They had never heard of Him. They had never seen Him, but they saw the miracle that He did. They gathered the fish and they said, surely this is the God. You would see later that Peter would say, surely this is the Christ. You art the Christ. But before He ever got to that point, before Jesus had ever proved Himself or showed miracle after miracle, they knew there was something special about this man. They could feel in their hearts that Christmas had come to town. You could see as He went from city to city, He performed miracles everywhere He went. His life was not a boring life, not a lazy life, but He went and He did. He would heal everybody that was in the city. The verse says, for as many as came, Him were made whole. It wasn't just a one basis, but He would go through cities and completely change the towns. He'd go through cities and completely change the lives of men. He committed miracles. He saved people. He would completely change the town. You knew when he was coming through town. We see the blind men were healed. We see the deaf were healed. We see the dead were healed. You could name thing after thing after thing. They were all miraculously healed. You knew that Jesus had come to town. It wasn't just another prophet that came by and preached and left. But when he came through your city, the city was changed. The tabernacles were changed. The streets that were filled with leopards and outcasts were now mingled among the crowds, glorifying his name. You saw much more than just another preacher. You saw much more than just a prophet. This was the Son of God, and they knew it. They knew it. He healed a certain blind man by the pool of Siloam. He told him to rub, he rubbed the dirt on his eyes, and he went in and dipped in the water. And you might just think this is just like any other miracle, but the Bible specially mentions it for a reason. Because when the blind man left, the Bible says, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Therefore said they unto him, 'How were thine eyes open?'" You see, he had made a lasting impact because this one man that was healed, they begin to question. They begin to ask, how is this possible? How is this a thing? This wasn't just a normal man. This had changed the life of him. And people were beginning to question him. We see all throughout his ministry, people questioning him. Who are you? Who are you? And much more than just a man, he went and went to the cross 33 years later after we see the birth of Jesus right here. 33 years later, we find him on the cross, much different than where he was at his birth. We see that he was accused, and the people that came against him were his accusers. The people that came against him were the people that hated him, not the ones that loved him. There was no wise men, there was no shepherds, there were no angels. There were only his accusers. We saw that Pilate say there's nothing wrong with him. He knew that he was more than a man. We saw some of his disciples saying there's nothing wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. We know that they knew that he was more than a man. We saw Mary there. She knew that he was more than a man. But to them, all those around him, he was the King of the Jews. He was the man that they hated and they ridiculed and despised. We see him as he died. We see the clouds come over the sky. We see the darkness completely fill the earth. And what a contrast that is to his birth. In his birth, the heavens were opened, and the angels shined forth. And now in his death, the heavens were closed, and there was utter darkness. We see such a difference. Such when Jesus was here, there was light, and when he died, there was darkness. But we see in 3 years of ministry, he healed, he saved, he changed lives. But in 3 days of death, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he got salvation for the rest of eternity. He did more in those 3 days than he did in those 3 years, and it left a lasting effect. But when he died, you could just say he was a normal man, and he's the same as any other prophet. He's the same as any other religion. But then that's where our story changes. You know, 3 days later, he arose again, and he became the Savior of the universe. And when he walked through the room and he's resurrected, he was going through walls. He was being in the upper room with them. He was telling them to go and seek. He was not just some man. If you doubted it before, after he was risen, there was no doubting it. Likewise, nowadays, there's no doubting it. You can look at a little baby and say, maybe not, but you can't look at a risen Savior and question it. When he rose again, he instructed them. He said, go. Because when he was with them, there was miracles. When he was with them, they were saved. But after he left, he was with them in their hearts. And more happened in those years than ever before. They saw more miracles. They saw people saved. Peter saw 3,000 saved. They saw the upper room filled full of the Holy Ghost. There were so many miracles after he left because he was still in their hearts. And for all these years, he had a strange life, people wondering who he was. But from the beginning, if you look at it, there was one man, Simeon, who knew all along who this man was. When they brought him before Simeon when he was a little baby, he without question took him into his arms. And Luke 2:28 said, "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" We see his life. He did just that. He went to the darkest parts of the world and he brought life. He went to the dead and he rose them up. He went to the blind and he opened their eyes. And each and every one of them could say, "Mine eyes have seen that salvation." You can look to the shepherds who were just normal shepherds abiding in the fields. When they saw the little Christ Jesus, they knew he was more than a baby. When they saw the angels, they could say, "Mine eyes have seen that salvation." As he went through his ministry, he went to town. town after town, church after church, they saw more than just a man. Those disciples that he called upon, they didn't just go after some man. They didn't just forsake all just for somebody. But when they looked at him without knowing his names, they could say, "Mine eyes have seen that salvation." They felt something come up in themselves because they knew they were witnessing the Savior. When he opened the blinded man's eyes and the people began to ask him about it, he said, "Let me tell you about a name named Jesus." When he went to the well, the woman at the well, she went after that and said, "Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. He was more than just a person." But after coming in contact with him, they could say, "Mine eyes have seen that salvation." He left a lasting effect. You can go to the disciples after Jesus had left, after they had gone and they began preaching in the world. You can look at Paul preaching in the world. You say, how did they do it? Because they had a conviction, because they knew a man. You said, how can Paul and Silas go into that jail and withhold? They could say, because I know a man, that the reason I'm here. They said, mine eyes have seen something that you could not believe. When John saw the heavens come down, he said, the half cannot be told. I couldn't tell you everything I saw. But what he could see is, I saw God. I saw the Savior. Throughout the whole New Testament, you saw men after men with accounts saying, mine eyes have seen that salvation. Gloriously changed in his ministry. And much more than the Bible, we see nowadays what Christmas means to us. We see it's become commercialized, and it's about presents. And when Christmas comes to town, it's more that Santa has come to town. It's more that this is Christmas Day, and we're getting together. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they've lost the reason of the first Christmas. They've lost the meaning of the first Christmas. During Jesus' life, every day he lived, Christmas was coming to town. Every city he came to, they were having a new experience. And we've lost that. We've forgotten that. But this Christmas, it's important to remember now in our current day and our current lives to be a light to others, because you can debate with people all day long about doctrine. You can debate with them all day long about the Bible, but they can't debate with a testimony. They can't debate with a man that's life's been changed. A drug addict has become a pastor. You can't debate with that. That's more than just a test. That is a testimony of God's goodness and his glory. Each and every one of us, if we're saved here today, we can say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We can say the light has shone upon our face. We can look at Moses in the Old Testament. He came in contact with God, and his face was shining as bright as a light. But nowadays, a heart can shine. Nowadays, the way we talk and live, it can shine much more than just one man. When he said, mine eyes have seen that salvation, what he meant was 300 years of darkness. What he meant was an Old Testament of sin. What he meant was people that had to sacrifice every day that was coming to a close. And his baby, that little baby we see right there, so much more than a baby. It's so much more than a kid in swaddling clothes. It was salvation incarnate. It was the Savior and a baby. If we live the life we're supposed to live, like Paul did, like the disciples did, we'll follow after Christ because we've seen something. We'll follow after Christ because we've experienced something. The best Christian is not one that knows the Bible inside and out. The best Christian is one that's experienced something and that can tell others about it, that can shine forth to others. So this Christmas, we have to remember to be the light. We have to remember what he did for us and to go and be a light to others, because they can't deny when their eyes have seen the salvation of God. I've been in church services and youth camps and different retreats where I've seen broken men in chains, and they've had the hardest lives. But you can't deny when you see the Spirit of God come on them. You can't deny when the tears are falling down. I could say right then there's something happening in his life. There's a change being made. He's not coming in contact with the prophet. He's not coming in contact with the preacher. But the Savior's coming down into his heart. That baby's coming to his life. I could say Christmas is coming to town in his life. He's making a change. And from then on, he can say, mine eyes have seen that salvation. So many times we get tempted and tried, and we go through trials in our lives. And it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to say, I can't do this anymore. But like Jeremiah that had a fire in his stomach, we have to be able to say, but I've seen something that I can't forget. In my own life, I've been tried and tested, and especially in preaching, and said, it would be so much easier if I didn't. But then at the same time, I said, I can't forget what I've seen. I can't forget what I've felt. I can't forget what I've been through. I've been to too many services to give up now. I've seen too many things to say it's fake. But I can honestly say throughout my life, no matter what happens, I can always point back and say, mine eyes have seen that salvation. My eyes have seen the glory of God. though we've never seen him, we felt it. Though we've never physically seen Jesus, he lives within our hearts. And this Christmas, that's more important than anything, not to forget that. That he came not just to lay in a manger. He came not just to lay on the cross, but he came to live in our hearts. That we could say, mine eyes truly have seen the salvation of God. If we serve him now, it won't be debates. If we serve him now, we'll get to that heaven someday soon. And if we enter into that city, first he has to come into our hearts. If we want to enter into those golden gates, we have to let him into our lives. And someday we can get into heaven around the ones we love. We can get into heaven around Paul and the ones that we've never met. But one thing we can all have in common is we're looking before the throne of God. We said, I didn't deserve it. I'm not supposed to be. I shouldn't have gotten this. But I can say without doubt, I've seen something. Mine eyes have seen that salvation. I've experienced the glory of God. And if we stand around the throne, we'll be able to say, you've done something. You're not just a baby, but you're the Savior. So if you could do anything this Christmas around family, around lost loved ones, ones that don't know Christ or run away from them, more than debating doctrine, more than debating scripture, we have to be a light because that's something they can't debate with. We have to show forth the goodness of God because that's something they can't debate with. Let them leave saying, I've seen something. Let them leave saying, I've felt something. And at the end of their lives, whatever they pick, they have to admit, God, I've seen your salvation. I've felt your presence. Let us be a light. Let us be a servant of God. Like the disciples following after them, we are now the disciples of God. Not questioning him, not saying, oh, can I go and check back? Believing everything, forsaking all, and following him. I'm just going to say a few more things. When I talked this Friday night at the Christmas party, I used a verse that went, the man that has put his hands on the plow and has looked back is unfit for the kingdom of God. Basically saying, if you started on this trip and you've looked back and gone back, you're unfit for the kingdom of God. Once we've seen that salvation, once we've seen that bright light, once we've accepted Jesus in our heart, never look back, never go back, never accept anything different but the truth. Because God is willing and wanting to help. God is willing and wanting to walk with us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. If we'll just follow after the bright lights, if we'll follow after our convictions, if we'll stay in the Word, we'll be able to make it to the rest of our lives, end of our lives, keep on plowing, keep on walking, being able to say, mine eyes have seen that salvation.